The subject is swallowed by the whale. Swallowed by the whale. And it relates to one of my favorite stories of the Tanakh, of Yonah Hanavi. And if you remember the story, Yonah had a mission, and he ran away. He couldn't face it, and he fled. He ran from his truth. He was called. He didn't listen, and he ran. And eventually found himself on a boat going in the wrong direction. Have we experienced this one time or a million times? And it was a disaster. The boat nearly capsized, and everyone in it died, and he realized that he couldn't he couldn't escape the truth. He couldn't escape. He felt guilt. He felt compassion for the other sailors. And he said, okay, kill me. Throw me into the water. I'm ready to die for my mistake. They were very compassionate, the sailors. And they didn't want to. But he insisted, and they felt they had no choice. They threw him in the water, and he was swallowed by a whale. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. In the end, he was vomited up in the right direction, realizing he was now ready for his mission and his journey. Huge moral strength came from this event, from the belly of the whale. Huge moral strength that allowed him to go to a town of 100,000 people, was it? And I would say preach Dharma, but let's say morality. anyway, the truth of their situation, and they listened. And the final part of the story was his lesson that he learnt, which is a lesson of compassion, that he realized how fragile was life, and that how important it was to save life and preserve life. I think it's a nice story because it's a little bit like a model of a retreat. We are full of our running away from our truth, from what we might be, from what we could be, from our deeper journey, from what our life gives our life deeper meaning, and we run away. We run into being more comfortable, we run into reading the newspaper every day, we run into listening and getting busy with everything that's just the politics and that what the Prime Minister is doing for breakfast and what, and we run away. We're full. We bring our life, we fill our life with distractions, with escapes. And at a certain moment, perhaps we say, wait a minute, I want to understand my life a little bit better. I want to see where I am. I want a deeper truth. And we go on a retreat, and we're swallowed in the belly of the whale. Here we are together in the belly of the whale, the Beten Shel Aviatan. Yeah, this is it. Looks a bit different, but same. We don't know what the whale ate. Why is it the belly of the whale here? Because like the yonah in the belly of the whale, in a way it's a little death. It's a mavit katan. It's a little death because we have no distractions, we have no escapes, we do not fill our days with newspapers and television and this and that and 100 million things. We are by ourselves, meeting ourselves in the mirror. There is silence. It's like a little dying. Like a small death. Like almost the hero's journey. Look in every hero's journey, in Greek mythology, in Indian mythology, every hero goes through a little death. Goes through the belly of the whale. Goes through a dark space where everything is abandoned. And we're alone with our truth, day and night. Actually, we're doing it more than Yonah. Yonah was 3 days and three nights. We're 8 days here. So we should be real heroes here. What happens in the belly of the whale? There is, it's a mythological view. There's a mythological view of the darkness, of also the shamanistic journey of clothing ourselves, of being in the dark, of in a way returning. The belly of the whale is also a kind of a womb. It's a kind of a rechem. It's dark. We're nothing in there. We lost our life. But something, we reach some place in the belly of the whale, in the dark space which is just us, where there's no distractions and no confusions, just the life as it is moment by moment. So it's part of our journey in a way to touch this zero place in us, the ethos, the zero. And that's the way I see this story of Yonah. So what did Yonah do in the belly of the whale? Well, I guess he didn't read Yediot Achronot and put his feet up in front of the television and have cups of coffee and chocolate cake. My guess is that he did pretty well what we're doing here. Finding a place of no distraction, no escape. And letting the truth appear to him in the darkness. It's about stopping. It's about finding this place of zero, of no escape. It's not running away. It's not distracting ourselves and finding ourselves the most comfortable situations all the time, running for comfort. It's stopping being busy. It's stopping being usual. The habits. Stopping being usual. What we normally do. And when we do this, just the stopping, it can be of great benefit to us. Just to stop. To some extent, you could say, I stopped. And this really helped me. I stopped for a week. It gave me a new perspective. I breathed. I recharged my batteries a bit. I found some rest. Quietness. I found a moment of quietness. Even a few moments. Standing under a tree. When I had three or four breaths to just, I was just there with the breathing. Nothing mattered. Nothing else in this life. Just me and my breath for a few moments. That's really helpful. That's something that we bring out into our life. To have those moments is important. It's a place of renewal. It's in a way the place of dying a little bit and reaching zero. And from zero, of course, everything comes. So all the potential. It's again like the womb, a bit like returning to the womb of ourselves, the rechem of ourselves. There's more, because we're not just stopping here, and my guess is that when Yonah was sitting in the belly of the whale for 3 days, his back hurt him, he got bored, he got restless, he got fed up, he got angry with himself why he ran away and why he did this and why he probably didn't have a very nice time. My guess is it wasn't all pleasure there. And for many of us, this is also the true here. But it's not just sitting by a still pool in the forest, feeling the quietness and the silence and the renewal. It is about tiredness, boredom, pains in the body, restlessness, endless thinking and crazy thoughts that doesn't let us, for 1 minute, let us alone. And we think, well, that's not what meditation is supposed to be. Meditation is supposed to be by sitting by a quiet forest pool and being in empty space and renewal. But I think that we have to understand meditation more deeply. Because meditation and our practice here is about transformation. It's not about having a rest. And it's very hard to communicate this when you're not here. And so most people in the world around think of meditation as shutting the eyes, going back into quietness and being renewed and coming out, especially you see these pictures of wonderful, pretty yogis with white clothes, and you think, well, if I wear white clothes and sit quiet in the quietness, and I will come out of it shining. And no one explains that meditation is actually about pains in the back and restlessness and boredom and so on, these things as well. It doesn't mean to say that if you don't have pains in the back and so on, you're doing something wrong. But it means that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we are likely to see these things. It's the name of the game. I think Iran talked about it yesterday. We are likely to see these. These things are likely to come up. And it's partly because when we sit with this still pool of water, which is us not running away, we see through the water. Things come up. They're not entirely in our hands. Things will come up. And I want to talk a little bit about that and why that is. Partly because a large amount of the escaping that we do, running away into being busy, into not our true mission like Yonah, running to being busy, to being full, to having a kind of like a mouse in a wheel going round and round, like a hamster inside a cage going round and round and round all our life, year after year, education, jobs, work, money, and all of that, or a lot of that, is about running away from something. And when we stop, those things we run away from tend to come up. And it's a law of nature that when we stop, things that we've been avoiding come up. They float up. And where they float from is a place between the mind and the body. They float up from that place, because that's where our practice is. If we think about it, what we're doing is using mind in connection with body. So we are on the territory of mind-body. We're not on the territory of talking with words to, for example, a psychologist or a friend in order to solve our problems. that might bring other kinds of content coming up. Verbal content, ideas, thoughts about ourselves, story, our life story. What tends to come up here, and this is an important point, what tends to come up in the retreat, which is also a story of our life, is stuff on the level of mind-body. And that stuff is tiredness, boredom, stress in the body, contraction, pain in the body, restlessness, confusion and cloudiness, many things that you can't say, this is my story, tiredness is my story, but it's an expression of our story, which is coming up on the level of mind-body, because that's our work here. We're not here, this is not a retreat in which we are discussing things with each other. It's not a conceptual retreat. This is not about working in language and ideas, telling our stories. This is about mind-body. Meditation is on that area of touching the subconscious. And really the subconscious is where things are stuck in us. So it's very important that we do touch the subconscious. And we touch the subconscious by making room for it. The empty space that we give by just sitting quietly with our breath, we give empty space. And in this empty space, our subconscious can talk. And when it talks in the language of these kind of things, mind-body kind of things, tiredness, stress, and boredom, and those things come up, and pains in the body, which are nothing really to do with, I mean, you know, you could be the best acrobat, ballet dancer, all your life, the most perfect yogi that does yoga every day, 3 hours a day, and can turn yourself into knots. As soon as you sit for half an hour, all the pains, it's nothing to do with being physically fit. It's to do with the expressions coming out from the mind-body territory. It's us. It's us looking at ourselves in the mirror, and what comes up is these things. So instead of thinking, oh, I've got a problem, I can't meditate because I'm bored. The boredom is the meditation. The boredom is now becoming, for those that are bored, has become an expression which is, that's the place. That's the place. These phenomena of what happens to us when we just stop are in a way gifts. They are our content. They are what happens when we look in the mirror. They're not a problem that we're trying to avoid. They are the result of meditation to us. They are what happens when we look in the mirror. Boredom, pain, difficulties. As I say, not for everybody. I would say for everybody, but not at all at the same time. Because I don't know one person who has been on a meditation retreat who doesn't have these things. Pains in the body, restlessness and all these things. I don't know one person. I've never met a person that has none of it. But it never comes at everybody in the same pace, in the same way, and maybe not. You have a retreat which is just total bliss and peace and quiet, but then the next one, boom. There's no rules to this. The way things happen are the way things happen. But it is invariable that the pains of existence express themselves through us at some point when we give them room. We make space, and the pains of existence do come up. This is our biography, a biographia shalani. This is our story, or part of it. And now we have things to work on. Instead of thinking, well, I've got nothing to do here, I don't know why I'm here. No, now suddenly we've got something to work on. Now there's chomer, now there's content. Boredom, although it's difficult in a way to get a handle on it, to hold it, but it is our content. It is what's happening to us. It is the truth at this minute. So we have something to work on. And here is where a process of transformation, a deeper transformation happens. Here, when we work on content in our inner life, that's where transformation happens. So what does it mean, work on content? The first and most important thing, especially at this stage of the retreat, is to recognize what's happening. That if we're bored, it's not a problem and stopping me meditation. Now, I recognize there is boredom. It's in the background. Here is boredom. Or, here is restlessness. I recognize it, I acknowledge it. Now it's here, now it's less, and now I'm back to my breathing again. Now it's happening again, there is restlessness, and now I'm just sitting quietly and no restlessness at all. This kind of recognition, this kind of meeting with content, actually creates for us a bigger mind. Because if we can see our content, then we are not our content. Right? If we can see our content, then we're not our content. We are bigger than our content. Divinity? A tochen. Im anachnu yichol nirot et ha-tochen shelanu, az anachnu lo ha-tochen. Anachnu yoter gadol mi ha-tochen shelanu. Vezeh ha-shichru. That's the freedom. We begin to see our content, our tochen, like a movie that passes by. Like a story, a bit like a soap opera, opera Sabon Shalani. Yeah, there it is. That's my story. May not be nice at this moment, may not be the best, may not be this, may not be okay. But it is my story. It's expressing itself on the mind-body picture. Moment by moment. It's me. I give it full respect. It's not a problem that I should run. It's not a problem. I stop running away from problems. I'm now facing. And here is restlessness. It's me at this moment. I give it full respect. And I'm looking at it. Restlessness is here. I'm with it. I know it. I understand it. It's what it is. I understand it's restlessness and not something else. And now I see it's not there. And now I see it is there. And the minute someone rings the bell, of course it goes away. So now I know it's not. It's not there all the time. It's only there sometime. And so on. So that process frees us. That is where the transformation happens. Where we find ourselves bigger than the content. Yoter gadol mi ha-tochen shelanu. Yoter rachav, yoter gadol. More free. You understand that? Kol lirot, kamo lirot seret, olam pnimi shelanu, et hatochen, yichol liot hatochen begadim shelo, u inochut. Menachni yichol lachzik et zeh in ayin pnimi, ruim et zeh, zeh inochut. Az zeh omer she'ani יכול להחזיק, אני הכלי, אני יותר גדול מהתמונה שלי. זה רק תמונה, זה רק משהו שחוויה שעולה ויורד. אז זה לא אני. אני יכול להחזיק אותו, אני יכול לראות אותו. אז אני יותר גדול מהתופעה הזאת. So we're going to talk a bit more about how to do this tomorrow. So I won't go into full instruction right now. Right now, just to say that we're reaching a stage of the course where these things do happen, do come up, and we need to identify them. And see them not as a problem, but as a natural part of our practice. As being, in a way, we're doing it right. It's difficult to make people understand this. But they're bored. People who are bored, they think they're doing everything wrong. No, you're doing it right. It's fine. It's us at this minute. It's us, no escape. It's us in the belly of the whale. No escape. Here we are, me and me. Stopped in the belly of the whale. The retreat, like a kind of womb, rechem, and this is what happens. So what's the purpose of this practice, the purpose of meditation, and the purpose of, I would say, bigger than meditation, the purpose of spiritual life, is an inner freedom. It's not just to feel better, it's actually to be freer. Be freer means to be finding our meaning. It means meeting us at a much deeper level. It means getting our power, like Yonah, to go and do the thing that needs to be done. It means dancing in our life and not feeling we are under 10 kilos of we're carrying schora of 10 kilos on our shoulders all the time. We're here to peel away the kalef, to throw off this burden. We're here to leave some of this stuff in the meditation hall. This meditation hall is a big pachashpa, is a big rubbish bin. And in here we're leaving this stuff. Our restlessness, boredom and so on, these are things that we can leave behind. We are meditation, and the spiritual life is about being free. Being free is being light, is being with the change, with the flow of life, is understanding our deeper meaning, and the deeper meaning of things going through us, is being more connected to our truth, which is just what Yonah discovered, his truth. Being more connected to our truth. But how can we be connected to our truth if we don't stop to see ourselves? So we're stopping to see ourselves, and our deeper truth comes up. Layer by layer, shichva achri shichva, layer by layer. You need to do this kind of thing because it's very difficult to really change deeply inside us, because it's hard to know in normal life how we can really change. It's just very hard to change ourselves by ourselves. It's like we are full of patterns, tavniot, we are full of patterns and habits and ways of thinking, and all these patterns and habits and ways of thinking, how are we going to create something new, because that's all we have. So we're looking at ourselves from the with the glasses of the of our old mind. We need to be in a new place in order to transform. As Einstein said, you can't solve problems with the same mind that created them. We need to be in a new mind. And that's why, partly why, meditation is, in a way, another territory. It is not the usual territory where of our daily life, in which we solve problems through language, for example, through dialogue, through reading books, through philosophical discussions, all of which can be very important to us. Not that I'm putting that down. We are all learning through these avenues. But the avenues of the regular mind. And the meditation practice is about finding a new mind. It's about, in a way, no mind. It's about mind-body. It's about nowhere. It's about the womb. That's where we have to start. So we're looking at ourselves from a new place, and not through the old patterns. And that's the importance of meditation. And in my own life, it's crucial for me. I mean, I have an academic past, so I'm very familiar with academic world. But it doesn't go deep enough to really make us free. The conditioned, sikhli mind, the thinking mind, is just not powerful enough to really spread over the whole being. It's in a kind of frame of commenting and thinking about, and the thinking about is not powerful enough to move into the whole being. We need something else. We need a process that's deeper. We need a process that touches deeper levels, that touches the mind-body level, the unconscious level, the base, the zero point, the roots of our being. And we need something that is beyond the thinking mind, the conceptual mind, the language mind. I want to kind of summarize by saying there's two ways in which meditation and the meditation experience and what we're going through here can help us. There is the way of just stopping, the way of being quiet, the way of meeting ourselves, meeting our zero place in us, the quiet place in us where things are okay. That holds us, that gives us hope, that gives us some peace, it gives us renewal. It's chadshut, renewal. It's where, as I say, where we stand for a moment, we feel connected. Where we walk in the garden under the trees and we feel belonging. And that's one part of what we're doing, which we bring out to our ordinary life afterwards. And the other part is where we meet resistance. We meet resistance. Right? When there's resistance is part of the path. We need to die a little bit in order to live. We need to die a little bit. If we don't die, we don't live. The two are the same. The two are connected. And we meet resistance, and it helps us with the, it helps us with the, with our finding our content and freeing us from content. So the second part is working with our content, with our story, with our life. So here are two parts of meditation practice, and they both go together. The quiet, the peace, the connectedness, the moments of simplicity, the moments of just joyful being. No problems, no restlessness, no pain, no nothing. Just being. And the other side, the resistance when we meet it. The process of cleaning, of tihur, of purification. When we meet ourselves, when we meet ourselves in the mirror, the things we don't like. But that's us. That's all the stuff that we're carrying. How do we take it off our shoulders? We take it off only if we know it. We can't take it off if we don't know it. We don't know where it is. We just do in life. So when we meet difficulty, that's where we can transform ourselves. We can purify ourselves. And it's done by just knowing what it is exactly that's happening to us. Content. Whatever it is. But however it's expressing itself, boredom, tiredness, restlessness, wanting to escape, wanting to run away, feeling this, feeling that, feeling pains in the body, pain in the heart. It's okay. It's us. It's where the transformation happens. It's the place of content, of resistance, of movement. There we can move. There we can. That's where we work. So I want to finish with a quote from T.S. Eliot, and he expresses it very beautifully in different ways. The first thing he says is, you say I'm repeating something I've said before. I feel like that myself. I've been saying this for quite a few years already. But I'll say it again. He says, shall I say it again? Yeah, I'll say it again. In order to arrive there, to arrive where you are, to get from where you are not, you must go by a way in which there is no ecstasy. In order to arrive there, to arrive where you are, and to get from where you are not, in other words, to arrive where you are, where you really are, that is, the experience of you're not in the dark, in the Leviathan, no escape, where I really am, it's no ecstasy. You must go by a way in which there is no ecstasy. In order to arrive at what you are not, you must go through the way in which you are not. In order to arrive at what you are not, you must go through the way in which you are not. It's very beautiful. In order to get to where you are not, somewhere else. To get to, you're not there yet. You are here. You want to get there, where you are not. But you have to go by a way of where you are not. In other words, the emptiness, the dying. You die a little bit in order to get somewhere else. In order to get to where you are not. Because you're not there. And what you do not know is the only thing you know. And what you own is what you do not own. And where you are is where you are not. To reflect quietly.